Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus humbles himself to wash the feet of his disciples, he's teaching by example. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, if you were with us, we talked about Jesus' description of the seed that was transformed in the ground, and I said that was a parable that Jesus lived out. I said that this seed being sown in the ground that changes and that grows so that it bears much fruit is a parable that comes to life in Jesus. Remember, John doesn't include the parables of Jesus like the other gospel writer does. He does, however, include these metaphorical stories that describe, through Jesus and sometimes others, living them the way life ought to be for us. Just like the seed is transformed in the ground, Jesus dies, is changed, and thereby lives so that many can receive the goodness of God and the new life in Christ. And so we too are metaphorically, but by no means untruthfully, changed. And thereby live to share the goodness of God. What we have been dies, and the new comes to life. The parable gets lived out through Jesus. And as Jesus lives through us, the parable lives in us. The sake of God's love for the world. The same thing is happening in this business of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. The goal for Jesus is to teach the disciples that sacrificial love for others is of ultimate concern for the way of God's design on the world. But like most students, the disciples have proven to be a little, shall I say, thick in the head. They aren't the smartest lot, or they take a little while to learn their lessons. And I get it, I really do. It's like when I was trying to learn algebra, and my dad would help me at the kitchen table with my homework. And there'd be an equation that I was supposed to work out. And I'd listen to the teacher, and I'd seen the examples, and my dad would help me work through the steps. And I could tell that he could see clearly how the numbers needed to multiply and divide in order to reveal the truth behind the equation. But sometimes I just didn't get it. It didn't make sense to me. The disciples are like me at that kitchen table. Jesus sees the way, but they're having trouble understanding. So Jesus decides to let them see what love looks like. He decides to show them and let them experience it. He ties a towel around his waist and he gets a bowl of water, and one by one, Jesus goes to each of them and washes their feet. Now, this isn't unusual for them to see, although it's possible not many of them had actually experienced it before. Foot washing was usually done for the elite, people with money, and of course it was performed by servants, slaves who didn't have the privilege one way or another. Jesus' disciples might have never before experienced having their feet washed, but they would certainly have known that it was not their teacher's responsibility to do it for them. And I think that is the point in this whole little drama. Jesus wants the disciples and us to understand the power differential, the master and the slave, the teacher and the student, and how in Jesus the roles get flipped and eliminated, actually. There was that time when some of the Pharisees or some kind of religious leaders came to Jesus and they asked him to tell them they asked him to tell them what he thought was the most important commandment. Remember that? Jesus said, it's simple. Love God and love your neighbor. And then the smarty pants says to Jesus, oh yeah, well, then who is my neighbor? Huh? And that's when Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And that story is all about power. Who has it? Who is willing to share it or sacrifice it for the sake of another? When Jesus turns the tables and takes on the role of a slave and does for these ragtag knucklehead disciples what ought to be reserved for the most wealthy, the most powerful, and be performed by the lowest of servants, Jesus shows them how power and influence doesn't work the same way according to the way of God. Jesus plays out this little scene, and then he becomes the teacher again. And he puts on his robe, and he puts away the water, and he says, do you understand what I have done for you? And, you know, these guys that write the Gospels, I mean, come on. I know they want to tell a good story. They want people to read what they've written. They're not doing this just for fun. So, of course, Jesus goes on to explain to them exactly why he did it. If I, your teacher, have washed your feet, then you also ought to wash one another's feet. You should do as I have done for you. A servant isn't greater than the master. You see, John, the writer of the gospel, wants to make sure that we, the ones who are reading it, get the meaning of the story. But I wonder if Jesus really had to say all of that, because his actions have already spoken volumes. Some people like to reenact this foot washing scene. Sometimes groups will do a foot washing service as part of a retreat or a mission trip. Some churches include foot washing as part of their service on Monday, Thursday, when they gather together like we are tonight. And that's fine. I've done that in various places and times, and I can see how that might be meaningful. But I don't think Jesus ever meant for us to continue this practice of foot washing as some sort of ritual in the same way that we do other things that we do. In Jesus' day, and for the culture that Jesus lived in, washing feet had a practical purpose. And to some degree, such practicality has carried over into religious purity customs, even among Christians in some part of the world. Lots of people from lots of religions wash feet, their own and those of others, for various reasons. That's fine. But it does us no good to wash each other's feet. Rather, we should ask, what are the power differentials equivalent to foot washing in our culture? And then go and do those things. I hold that the reason we remember Jesus doing this on this particular day in the midst of this celebration of Holy Week that we observe every year is because we continue, like the disciples, to have a bit of a hard time getting it. We continue to be like I was at the kitchen table, trying to understand our algebra homework. Looking to a teacher like my dad, who, although he can see the solution to the equation clearly, still lovingly goes through the basics with us again and again and again until we finally get it, however long that takes. Jesus is teaching us how to love one another. How to love not just for the sake of keeping peace and maintaining the status quo. Jesus isn't interested in love for the purpose of making sure everyone gets a fair chance. God's love that Jesus lives out by washing feet, the feet of his disciples, is a sacrificial love. Love that doesn't ask what's in it for me or even what I might lose if I risk it. Jesus' foot-washing love that breaks the molds of power and puts us on the same level as the lowest scum of the earth and the richest, most influential leaders of the world. the seed in the ground, Jesus showed us what it means to die. That through the transformation only God can provide, we might live for the sake of many. And then Jesus went and did that. The dying and the living. Here, Jesus shows us what it means to become the foot washer, the one that takes on the role of a slave so that even the least worthy can receive the most abundant of blessings. How are we going to live out this parable?